Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Action Engagement Survey Results, Chapter 3, The Questions, Part 8. The questions this cast answers are, how should I respond to my engagement survey results? What should I do with my scores on an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Your network is your net worth. Expand both with the Executive Speaker Series. These monthly calls feature executives from the Manager Tools community as they walk you through their strategies for effective executive leadership. Our network of leaders meets regularly in order to build a strong sense of community amongst professionals who want to learn from and teach one another the secrets to their success. Expand your network and advance your career by joining us. Click the Executive Speaker Series header on the Manager Tools homepage.
If you're just joining us now and you haven't listened to the previous cast on this topic, we strongly suggest you go back and do so. So rather than just repeating all the stuff we've talked about so far, we are now on the category in the engagement survey around questions regarding management. This should be fun.
Yeah, this is the most interesting area of engagement surveys where your directs are talking specifically about you and only you. As a general rule, the way they think about it is leadership is more senior and management is direct, right? But if you're a VP, you're both implicated in the leadership bit, but you're also a manager of your directs. We don't mean this is only for frontline supervisors. A lot of our guidance in this series has been cautionary, but we want to say this now. If your scores are good here, celebrate a little. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't get up on your desk and dance. Make sure you pat yourself on the back. Chide yourself for all the hours you spent worrying about what you were going to do if your scores were a bloodbath. And don't be afraid to mention this in your engagement survey response that your boss is going to see. Don't crow. Just mention it. Now, I'm really pleased with the scores regarding management. If you'll notice, I'm noticeably better than the organizational average. Now, your boss will probably say, well, there's two areas where you're not quite as good as a couple other people. Say, hey, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll look into those, right? Listen, if you're a director or above, and you see that one of your subordinates, managers, management category scores beat the mean for your org, send them a note. Call them. Tell them thank you for the hard work. Tell them you noticed. Otherwise, you're just one of those bosses who's covering her own tail and is only looking for problems and whom to blame. In other words, not a leader. And if you've got managers working for you, you better be starting on your leadership journey. And one more thing about being a director or above in this management section here. You can easily demand that any manager with low scores who aren't doing one-on-ones and feedback in the Manager Tools Trinity coaching delegation, start immediately to roll it out. We're going to put out separate guidance about this in Exec Tools, about people's misunderstanding regarding people's ability to, quote, manage based on their personality, so on. You have the authority as an executive, as a manager of managers, to insist that your subordinate managers engage in behaviors which you have found effective. You can make them required. You can make them part of their performance reviews. You have that authority. Why directors don't understand that this is a fundamental part of the leadership responsibilities that they have is beyond us. I still haven't figured it out. But this misunderstanding stubbornly persists. I think it's partially because people between low-level manager and very senior doubt whether or not there's a little bit of feeling like, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. Well, let me be clear. Most managers don't know what they're doing, and that's okay. That's why there's manager tools. If your scores aren't as good, folks, it's probably not as bad as you think. If you're close to the mean, but below it, you may be overlooked when your leadership spends all their time trying to fix the managers who did really poorly. And because you're getting this guidance in detail, there are all kinds of things you can do. And while we don't have time for it today, if you really did incredibly poorly, we're going to put out a separate guidance for you soon in our Manager Tools feed. We'll also be candid. This is our favorite part of the survey because we know if you're an MT manager, and that doesn't just mean that you listen, but that you practice the Trinity, you're going to have gotten very good scores here. Oh, there'll be one person on your team that's a curmudgeon, a sad sack, and always whining and complaining, and you should encourage them to go to work for a competitor. Nobody's perfect. But look, if you're doing these things and you got a good score, we're happy for you. We are incredibly proud to have contributed to your success, although we really didn't do it. You did. Mike and I can assure you, Kate and Sarah, everybody else here on this team, we do this for you because nobody did it for us.
There you go. Okay, so let's get into questions.
Yeah.
My manager provides me with the support I need to succeed.
Just as a start, if you want to be perceived as being supportive, you can start by regularly saying things like, I support you. I believe you. I believe in you. I want to help you succeed. That's a plan I can support. Now, look, every once in a while I tell people, these are phrases you can use. Like, wow, those are really good. I don't know. I don't want to come across as inauthentic. I think I'm mentioning things a lot because I wrote it last night about 11 o'clock at night. And I think one of the things I put in there is this idea of, well, I don't want to feel awkward. I got to tell you something. The people who tell you who are just starting their careers, they don't want to be awkward. Get rid of them as fast as you can, because learning is awkward. Trying something new and taking a risk to see whether or not it works is awkward. It's uncomfortable. And you are never going to grow if you're not feeling awkward, if you're not trying new things. So you may not naturally say those things, but your job is not to feel natural or to feel unawkward or comfortable. Holy Toledo. Everybody wants a job that's comfortable. And look, another reason, you're probably thinking, if people are doing their jobs, they shouldn't need me to support them. You high Ds, you know I'm talking about you. They don't need me to tell them I do support them. And I support them by staying out of their way. And look, that's technically true for some. But it's also politically stupid because, as we mentioned earlier, not everybody who works for you thinks like you. Some people need to hear it. If you want to get the best results from those people who need to hear it, you need to say it. Why? Because you're sensitive to individuals. You don't manage everyone in your team the same way. You certainly don't manage everyone in the team the way you would want to be managed. And believe us, one-on-ones will make your team members start to feel supported, according to our data.
Yeah, well, just simple reason that you're spending time with them, which your directs absolutely value, right? FaceTime with the boss is more important than almost anything they get at work, right? So, yeah, I think 30 minutes a week is reasonable to expect.
Do the math. 30 minutes a week is a pittance for somebody who is going to get an annual review from you and then go home and tell their spouse what their raise is or isn't. You better have a lot of trust built up. You better have a lot of authority, moral authority, to make that judgment on someone.
Well, what if we say a different way, a more negative way, which is, if you're not willing to spend 30 minutes a week with each of your directs, what makes you think you'd ever get a great answer to providing the support that they need to succeed, right?
Exactly. So ask your team, what can I do to support you better? What am I already doing that does support you and your work?
My manager keeps me informed about how well I'm meeting my goals.
Yeah, this is both a communication question and a performance management question. You may be keeping a track of performance, but not talking about it enough. Or you're talking about performance generally, but without metrics and perhaps without enough frequent feedback to connect project or system goals and measurements to behaviors. The vast majority of managers fearing negative feedback are terrible at talking about performance. By the way, ranting and raving is not talking about performance. So it's actually pretty easy to get a low score here. That said, it's also not that hard to improve. It just takes a little while. The solution is one-on-ones for 3 months, followed by the feedback model, which takes another couple of months, and public digital reporting by your directs, not by you. You don't go around and get everybody's report and put it into a report. They populate the report on deliverables and work product status. I think one of my all-time favorite casts, it's certainly in my top 20, is Horstman's Law of Project Management, Who Does What by When, combined with visual record keeping. Look, if your score wasn't good, ask and capture, what am I doing that is helping or hurting keeping you informed about your goals?
Okay. My manager provides valuable feedback that helps me improve my performance.
What do you know? Companies want to know whether or not their managers are actually giving feedback. Oh, it's a miracle.
I love this one because it's behavior-based and not about feelings. Right?
So, yes, exactly. Our guidance here is pretty easy. If you get a low score, start doing one-on-ones. If you're not already, 4 months after that, sorry, folks, but you can't surge trust. Start giving feedback using the manager tools feedback model. Some people say, well, I'm not sure I like your model. Well, it's better than nothing at all, bub. Don't worry, there's no quick fix. You're not going to get measured for another year or two, at least in an engagement survey. You can roll out the entire manager tools trinity in a year and be killing it by the time your folks could ask this question again. In fact, I had one guy write into me, Mike, and say, I was so glad that I didn't find out about the trinity until after my engagement survey. When I listened to the cast, I was like, where were you guys 20 years ago? I thought, no, I wouldn't want to do that. I want a low score now, and then I want an awesome score in a year. Yeah, there you go. I thought it was very daredevilish of him, and I was very
impressed. I hope I get a really bad score, and then I can show improvement. Well, okay. All right.
Yeah. Now, look, if you're not familiar with our models, we're not going to teach them to you here and now. We have alluded to how easy it is in this guidance. It only takes 10 seconds to say, hey, can I give you some feedback? And then direct says yes, although they can say no. And then you say, when you alert me that my boss is coming down, I can get ready. Many thanks, dude. Actually, I think that particular example took less than 7 seconds. And what's funny about that, people heard feedback and people were surprised that it was positive. It's all in your head. But all feedback is positive, believe it or not, because it's about the future, which we want to be positive. And negative feedback doesn't take 1 second longer. And if you want to master negative feedback, if that's a problem for you, just learn to give a lot more positive feedback and your people will beg for negative and forgive you if you stumble the first few times you do it. If you scored poorly here, there is no way out. Feedback is your only path to success. Specific behavioral feedback delivered quickly and politely. Until then, till you get there, ask and capture, what kind of feedback do you want from me? And do not believe the crusty old timers who say they only want negative. Trust us, they don't. If you do what they say, you start giving them only negative. They're going to give you a ration of you know what and say, well, I did a bunch of good stuff this week. Hey, but you told me you only wanted the negative.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, don't buy into that.
Yep.
Next one. I almost hate to mention this because people are like they'll like raise their hand as they're listening to the podcast. It's feedback. It's feedback.
Yeah.
My manager recognizes my efforts and results.
Yeah. So there are three types of recognition: positive feedback, praise, and organizational recognition. Organizational usually means awards or financial rewards. Okay. Positive feedback is the easiest, the fastest, and the most effective in driving future behavior. Not even close. Praise is also good. For the record, and we have guidance for that called Yes, Please, Praise. Awards and rewards are much harder because usually there's a lot of administrative red tape, but effective managers should know the process for getting awards and rewards for your team and have a friend working in the process when possible to speed things along. If you scored low here, ask and capture, what did I miss in recognizing your efforts? Where could I have done so that I didn't? And again, guys, remember, when they tell you, when they give you a litany of all the stuff you didn't recognize, say thank you and write it down. Don't argue. Don't tell them why you didn't do it in that particular case. Don't tell them you had a good reason. There's no good reason. Just listen. Say thank you.
Yeah. Well, my experience here is that most managers, when they hear this thing about recognizing my efforts and results and not feeling that happens, is that they believe it actually means awards or financial rewards most of the time. And yeah, most of the time,
right,
it does not. It's simply recognition through feedback.
In fact, if you build rewards and awards in a company and the managers aren't doing the feedback thing, which is true in a lot of places, organizations try to make up for what managers don't do, even though the organization doesn't help the managers do what they should do. They teach things like the sandwich technique, heaven forfend. And so what ends up happening is the organization does those things. So now the manager doesn't get any credit for it. And then when things go south in the marketplace, when your industry has a recession, those things all go away. And they were really kind of hygiene anyway, because they're not trust-based. Yeah, not good.
And they go to so few people, it doesn't make a huge difference anyways. But okay, next one. My manager develops a positive team atmosphere.
Longtime listeners are no doubt going to cringe in advance of our response to this question because it is too close to a culture question. Who knows what any team member considers as a positive atmosphere? What is atmosphere anyway? And who gets to say what's positive about it? Be very careful regarding questions about atmosphere and culture. Lots of people use lots of fancy words that end up being nothing more than meringue. It's all air with a little bit of burned sugar in there for structure. Culture, and atmosphere for that matter, is nothing more than behavior. What you do is your culture, not how people feel, not how people think, not what people want, but what they do. So a positive team atmosphere would mean behaviors that are positive. We think, maybe. But what are those and what are not those? So as much as we might find this question a poor metric, managers might have to respond to it. If you've gotten a low score, you're probably not given much, if any, positive feedback. You're only focusing on mistakes. We've said it before, classic manager mistake, best intentions, wrong, wrong, wrong. And for the record, folks, I'm not calling you out. I'm really not. Mike and I did it wrong too for years. We didn't get to see the light until we were 30? Older?
Older.
Yeah.
And I always have to keep reminding myself to do so. It still does not come naturally, right? It's like it's literally something I have to remind myself almost every day, right?
Yeah. There are thousands of people I presented to that say, you know, this is an outflow of how you manage. I said, no, we don't.
It's not my nature. I'm a high D, high C. Right. All I'm doing is I want results and I'm constantly looking for what's wrong. And despite that,
so good.
I can behave in a way that's not my natural nature, which is just do things smart. Like a boss told me one time, focus more on being effective than being right. It's like, okay, thank you.
In my case, I'm really good in battle. I'm the guy you want. I know how to attack. I know how to be effective in very difficult situations. My natural tendency does not lend itself well to management. So when people say, oh, so you're teaching us what you do, I say, no. We don't teach what I do. I do what we teach because I'm aware of my own limitations and I need underpinnings for me that will make me good. And I need to set an example for the people who work for me that's teachable. That's an important part of succession planning and management continuity in organizations, teachable behaviors. So other people can learn from you rather than your personality. So the question to ask on this one is, what can I do to make our team atmosphere more positive? And try not to do a Horstman with it and say, hey, folks, what can I do to make our team atmosphere more positive? You wouldn't want to be snarky about it.
No. My manager acts with integrity.
This is a simple one. In our experience, each manager's die is already cast on this one. The best way for any manager to improve their trustworthiness is to communicate more with their directs. And the best way to do that, if you're not already doing it, start doing one-on-ones. And the more trust you have, the more you're believed, the more it will be believed that you have integrity. But then again, we also encourage you to tell the truth and don't lie or cheat or tolerate those who do. Would be good for integrity.
Yeah. And if you do those things, then
you got nothing to worry about.
Stupid. They see it. They'll figure it out. You'll never get a good score here if you don't have integrity.
An honest person's conscience is their pillow.
Yeah. We don't have a magic pill for dishonest people, unfortunately.
Yeah, no.
Fortunately, because they should be weeded out.
Yes.
Hey, folks. The one good thing the pandemic has taught manager tools was that virtual training could be delivered in such a way to bring meaningful results to a geographically dispersed group of professionals. Give your managers the same licensing benefits received with on-site organizational effective manager training and schedule 3 digestible virtual Zoom sessions to give your global team the tools needed to be effective managers and achieve results in retention. In order to learn more, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com to learn more about all of our offerings.
Okay, next one. My manager has the skills, knowledge, and resources to manage the team well.
Yeah, I think most of us think we know enough to be a good manager of a team, unless it's our first job, we've been in the job less than 3 months, and so on. If you're that new, don't worry too much about this. Don't. It's okay. You'll grow. We all did. We just told you how Mike and I did. Poorly at first. You get a pass for a few months in all but the most ruthless companies. If you've been in your role more than 3 months, comments pointing out what you can't do or don't know, unless they're just vitriol or from one of your curmudgeons, as you might see it, should be seen as helpful. Gosh, I've got a map here of where I need to get well. And it'll move you toward working on greater trust with your team. And I'll just mention one more thing about trust. I don't said I've said it in all these series. Just because you trust yourself doesn't mean your team trusts you, especially if your team has different natural behavioral tendencies than you. The only way to build trust is to communicate with other people about things that are important to them, to show them that they matter to you. That's how human beings are. It's why it will always, and it'll always be so. So ask and capture here. Where are my skills or knowledge or resources weak or strong? All thoughts welcome, folks.
My manager encourages and empowers me to take the initiative and suggest improvements.
This is one of those questions about which those who have been around organizational surveys think, well, either they have or they haven't, right? Either he or she encourages or empowers me to initiative and improvements or not. And as we said earlier, it's not terribly encouraging to have to get your boss to approve your ideas. We have a great but not well-known bit of guidance here called the development question. It's in the show notes, licensees. It's how to answer directs who come to you looking for guidance, and it's definitely empowering, even though we don't care for that word at Manager Tools because everybody is already empowered. Ask and capture, what could I do to empower and encourage you more, and what areas specifically?
My manager inspires me to higher levels of performance.
Yeah, so some of us are inspirational. Others of us are not. Some people think, generally more people-focused folks, think inspiration is good. The engineers, the technical people, the logical, linear, rational folks say, I don't need to inspire. I just need to get them to do what I tell them to do when I tell them to do it. So the first step, though, if you got a low score here, if they don't trust you, they're not going to think, they're not going to be inspired by you. So again, we recur back to one-on-one, start the trust building process. I will say that for individual managers, I don't have data on this, but my anecdotal evidence over the last 30 years suggests the single best thing that managers can do to be inspirational, despite other than building trust with your directs, is to point out good behavior. To recognize, reward, give positive feedback to people who are doing things well. You don't have to call out the negative to nearly as great a degree. You just need to call out the positive. In this case, you could ask a simple question. What can I do to inspire you to be better?
My manager holds all employees accountable.
Okay, back to problem questions. This comes from an equity perspective rather than a performance perspective. The fear is that some manager might be being unfair to one direct report. But if everyone else in the team is meeting standards, the one who is failing may feel like they're the only one being held accountable. And isn't it funny that holding someone accountable always means negative feedback? When in fact, if you meet the standard, I actually am holding you accountable by praising you and asking for more. Positive feedback is a form of accountability. You're accountable and you did it. And I want more of you doing the stuff you're accountable for. Now, there's an exception here. A lot of managers think they can get away with having favorites on their team. That is a big no-no. Now, I'm not saying your number one performer can't be your favorite. By favorites in this situation, we mean friends who are held to a lower standard or a more private standard or a more close personal standard than other people are. And we have Hall of Fame guidance on this called Can I Be Friends with My Directs? And the answer is no, definitely no. And the guidance in that podcast addresses why and how you can't have lunch with just one of your team, or share a sport with one or two of your team. A lot of the listeners know I play golf. If everybody lived around me, I could not just only play golf with one or two of your team, one or two of my team, my direct reports, even if only one or two of them played golf. This is the kind of behavior that causes others to view that all your decisions come down through a lens of favoritism. So in this case, ask and capture, what am I doing that sends a message that everybody's not accountable? How can I do this better? Now, don't be surprised on this one if you hear crickets, and only later does somebody visit you privately to say your relationship with so-and-so is the problem, but nobody wanted to throw so-and-so under the bus in the meeting. And final point, if you were giving more feedback to everyone, positive and negative, you'd have a lot smaller chance of being seen as playing favorites. So, as Bill Belichick is famous for saying, do your job.
My manager encourages different points of view.
Yeah, this is a funny one. A lot of managers don't do this enough, and some overdo it. The general trend right now in organizations is much more skewed toward the direct than the manager. Thus, the earlier questions about being consulted on changes. I can't imagine if a previously public company got taken private in a private equity buyout, and the new private equity people came in and started saying, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. I can imagine how they would respond if somebody says, oh, well, you didn't consult me on that. Well, you're the one that got your company to the point that its share value was so low we could afford to buy it on the cheap. So we appreciate your expertise, but you're not knowledgeable about how to lead a company. And so, no, we didn't ask you. We probably should have, but we probably would have ignored it too. So, even if you think you're doing a pretty good job, your directs might very well be singing from a different hymnal on this one. There are all kinds of solutions to get better at this. Start having one-on-ones. More, if you have more trusting relationships, you'll be seen as tolerating different points of view. You'll trust your directs to give you more input. I will tell you, the high C's in the audience, if you're listening and you know MT Disc, you high C's, you perfectionists, you have a habit of correcting people, okay? If people feel corrected all the time from you, you are discouraging different points of view. You may not see it that way, but that's human psychology 101. Start having staff meetings where you only talk for 15 minutes of the 90 minutes or maybe 10 minutes of the 60 minutes. Make sure others, including all of your directs, are routinely on the agenda every week. When someone unloads a problem at your staff meeting, don't just solve it by fiat and say, well, here's what we're going to do. If you know what to do, that's great. But you'll be seen as stepping on other people's ideas. And that feeling of you being super knowledgeable, right? You're the solver of all the problems. Maybe it's more efficient, but it's also only takes 2 minutes to say, what does everyone think? Any ideas for what Raul has brought to the table? And then listen to the responses. Ask for input every time somebody brings a problem to your desk. Expect them to bring solutions, not problems. Surely you've heard this before. And don't forget our previously mentioned guidance, the development question. That question, by the way, is what do you think? Folks, get it out of your head that your way is the right way. It's just your way. Horseman's third law is you're not that smart. They're not that dumb. Horseman's fourth law is control is an illusion. Horseman's fifth law is the river is wide, the currents are messy, but all the water ends up in the ocean. So for ask and capture, ask, what can I do to encourage different points of view? A couple of cautionary notes here. The pendulum that right now encourages more collaborative leadership today will swing back. Just wait for a recession. Second, you and your directs need to understand the distinction between when different points of view should be heard, and that is before a decision is made. After a decision is made, there's no place for different viewpoints, only action. You'll find this Hall of Fame guidance in a podcast called Professional Subordination.
It's a good one.
Oh, one of my favorites.
My manager is available to coach and develop each team member.
You would be easily available to do this if you'd already rolled out manager tools one-on-ones and built on them with the manager tools feedback model, which directs see as coaching and development, even though those words are kind of fuzzy. And then, what do you know? The manager tools coaching model and the manager tools delegation model, which directly address coaching and developing. Delegation being the favorite development tool of high-performing managers and executives. For those of you new to Manager Tools, we have a guarantee. You'll get more time back in your calendar than you spend using our tools. The reason you don't have time to do these managerial duties, these fundamental underlying bedrock principles, is because you don't already have tools built with data to support them and 30 years of success, and you haven't built trusting relationships yet with your directs. Using these tools, and they're all free, will give you the time in your schedule to coach and develop your people, and you'll have the tools to do it. So we recommend you ask here, what areas do you want coaching and development on? And by the way, if you're a licensee, you can write in with what they ask for, and we'll help you come up with game plans.
My manager and I have regular discussions about how well I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Any ideas?
This whole thing plays into the Trinity. If you're not doing one-on-ones and haven't built metrics for reporting performance, it's unlikely you're going to get good scores on this question. Most managers think annual reviews are regular discussions, which would be funny if it wasn't so evil. So ask and capture, how often do you want to talk about performance and what do you want to talk about? One-on-ones and feedback, folks. One-on-ones and feedback.
Yeah, it'd be a broken record if it wasn't true. My manager allows me the time to work on career development activities.
Yeah, this is a tricky one because the data show pretty convincingly, I've believed this for a long time, I saw some of the data get created, 80% of career development comes from in-job work, actually doing the work you're paid to do, but also stretching. Only 10% is training, but that's not what most employees think. Now, look, you're probably not going to win that argument with your directs and say, well, I do give you time to work on career development. Your career development activities is doing your job good, right?
That will go over well, yeah.
Yeah. But you can say that you completely support career development efforts while on the job. And that means often, but not always, your direct will have to figure out how to get 100% of their work done in 95% of the time. And that itself is part of their development, improving efficiency. And the other 5% can be spent on growth efforts. I actually think you can solve this problem just by delegating. And managers are always saying they're so busy. By the way, if you tell me you trust your people, but then you tell me you can't delegate any of them, you don't trust your people. We recommend our guidance here about performance and performance development from the Manager Tools Trinity. Yet again, feedback, coaching, delegation, and following our guidance about rolling out the Trinity. And look, come to a conference as well. The podcasts are great, but we also have conferences in three different forms. We have in-person, we have virtual, and we have video. And there's books too. We have books. Ask and capture. How can I help you to work on your career development? You'll note this question doesn't ask about time as the question in the survey did. But that's a red herring. Don't worry about time.
My manager regularly seeks feedback on his or her leadership style.
Oh, dear. Okay, we at Manager Tools, folks, do not agree with the common wisdom. Remember, by the way, wisdom isn't common. That feedback should be a two-way street. Suggestions, recommendations, always welcome by professional bosses, effective bosses. But to say that managers give feedback downwards and directs give feedback upwards is just sloppy and misleading and dangerous. As we've said before, tell your boss the truth and the truth will set you free. I've seen it happen repeatedly. Bosses say, hey, I'd love to hear from you how I'm doing. Feel free to give me feedback. And then someone does, and the boss just chops their head off. We've shared the example many times, the direct who is late a few times and getting feedback for it each time. Then he decides, because we live in a world where there is no rank and everybody's the same and we should be collaborative, which means I'm equal to my boss, which technically you are as a human soul, but not within the organizational construct. So the direct decides he's going to give his boss feedback. So after his boss gives him more feedback later on in the week about being late, politely and professionally, he says back, can I give you some feedback? The manager, regrettably, says yes. The answer, by the way, if your direct say, can I give you some feedback, is no. Then the direct says, when you start the meeting on time, I have to stop doing something that I think is more important. Can you please wait to start the meeting until I get there? Now, hopefully we don't have to explain the role power imbalance that leads to the absurdity of this exchange. And folks, role power imbalance is not a bug. It's a necessary feature of the effective, essential part of human organizations. you are not required to listen to any of your directs critiques of your leadership style, okay, in terms of on the spot or certainly in front of others. That said, it wouldn't be polite to shut them down. Listen as a matter of common courtesy. If they ask you to give you feedback and you've used the feedback model, say no, and then talk to them about it in the one-on-one. Because remember, people are authorized to say no. And if their input or suggestion or recommendation is vulgar or rude or demeaning or a ranting disagreement, it's time for negative feedback, perhaps shortly thereafter, privately, quickly, politely, and positively given. If they cross a line with personal attacks, you could write something up more formally and say if there's no further similar unprofessional behavior, you'll get rid of the written note. Our directs are, of course, welcome to make recommendations, suggestions, improvements, and they can use the open door policy about which we have great guidance. We want input. Every professional does. If one of our directs has some professionally thought through input about how we could do better, we are eager to hear it. And we encourage you to use one of our favorite pieces of guidance, though it's terribly misnamed, my fault, how to get feedback from your directs. I was using the vernacular rather than our language there. Now look, if you scored low here, that process will help a great deal, not just on this question, but across the entire spectrum of the survey, your behaviors, and trust. If you're an executive, skip level meetings, town halls, and your own open door policy will help. We would not ask here what could be done for regular input. Rather, ask your team, what input or suggestions do you have for me about how I'm leading? Don't ask for feedback, because that equates yours with theirs, and that's a problem.
Yeah, suggestion box. There's the answer there.
Yeah, please no. Mike is kidding, folks. Full disclosure, Mike is kidding. Yeah,
I am kidding. Yes, I'm kidding. Thanks for pointing that out regularly.
Look, managers are the suggestion box.
Exactly right. Yeah. Trust, relationships, yeah. Communication. There is no shortcut here, folks. None. My manager treats me with respect.
If you haven't built a trusting relationship using one-on-ones, you're at more risk of a low score on this question. Duh. Okay. Respect and trust go hand in hand. Respect is easy in most contexts, but it's a little harder at work. Interpersonal respect means being on time, using people's names, asking how they're doing, practicing general forms of interpersonal courtesy like offering to help, saying please and thank you. You high D's and high C's should be listening here. These small niceties of the world help the world. They're like grease against the friction of nature being red and tooth and claw, and life would be nasty, brutish, and short without civilization. Moderating the volume of your voice, not interrupting other people, looking at people when you speak to them. I had somebody tell me the other day, oh, I don't make eye contact. It's an affront to people to make eye contact. Sorry. Nope. Wrong. Shaking hands, not saying everything you think, softening negative comments, responding to emails within 48 hours, congratulating other people, even if you do not have a good relationship with them. Saying I'm sorry or excuse me when you're wrong, apologizing appropriately, and there are right ways and wrong ways, and we have a podcast about it. Smiling at others and introducing new people are easy examples. Now, again, we'll go back to a comment I made in there. There are those who say their personalities preclude them from doing these things, but they're lying and hiding. Your personality is not your destiny. These behaviors are not born of one's personality. These are professional behaviors. Nor are these behaviors a cultural norm that is limited to certain countries, despite those who say they are. These are normal, organizational, behavioral adaptations that effective, ethical, and normal professionals engage in all over the world, according to the data, to make working together and the friction it creates a little more tolerable. And we suspect that some professionals will have to relearn many of them as we continue towards more time in the office versus working remotely. Oh yeah, and dress up for work too. The Wall Street Journal had an article recently, Mike, about can you wear shorts to work? And they said, yeah, in some situations. And what I thought they should say is, should you wear shorts to work? And the answer is no. If you work on doing these things, these simple things, you will be scored more highly next time in the form of respect. So ask and capture, what can I do to treat you with more respect?
My manager treats me fairly.
Frankly, this is a dumb question for organizational life because each person has their own definition of fairness and the organization does not have one to superimpose on it, other than the hierarchy, right? Fairness is a concept that doesn't translate well into human organizations. You can always hear stories about how one person gets paid more than another for the same work, and I'm not making a gender comment here, folks, and how that's not fair to the employee who's paid less. But the story always seems to admit that one of the two professionals, the higher paid one, had to step down from a much higher role when her father died, and she had to take care of her sick mother. And in honor of her 25 years of great service to the company, her boss said she could keep the higher pay even though she stepped down a level, which is paid less. Now, do you want to work in a company that is fair or one that honors her years of service? Human organizations are too complex and detailed to meet everyone's definition of fairness. But this question allows individuals to apply their own definition of fairness to the company. So, keep it simple. We recommend you ask and capture any examples of me treating you unfairly.
Hey, my manager asks for input.
Well, we certainly hope you're asking for input. As we've mentioned before at your staff meetings and your one-on-ones, by using the development question guidance, in every planning session, learn to talk last. Don't always be the one who decides, or your boss will figure out all your people are just pairs of hands, and she can't promote you because she needs someone with good decision-making skills to replace you, and your people haven't learned them because you've sucked up all the decisions, showing everybody how smart you are. So ask and capture where and when and how can I ask for more input. You could also make a note if you're doing one-on-ones at the bottom of every single one-on-one form, right at the bottom of the next 10, 20 weeks. Got any input for me? Anything I can do different, better? Any ideas? Any suggestions, recommendations, opportunities for improvement? And somebody said, well, that's cheating. No, it's not. That would imply that every note I ever took in any meeting is cheating because I can't remember everything everybody said or did, and I have to have a reminder.
Next one. My manager handles my work-related issues satisfactorily.
Yeah, so this is a sort of an easily misunderstood question. Most of us, upon seeing a form of it that's been used over the years, not just in engagement, felt it had an HR quality to it, as in, I can get answers from my boss about pay and benefits. But really, it's a broader question than that. The question is asking whether you do a good job responding to questions, but also providing guidance, adjudicating complaints, solving problems, freeing up resources, all the stuff that people need from their boss in order to get their job done. And these are all useful skills, though the truly great boss doesn't so much handle her direct issues, but gives them guidance on how to solve the problems themselves. And if you do that a lot, if you hold your people accountable for solving their own problems, Managerial Economics 101, another great bit of our guidance, you might actually get a low score because they're going to realize my manager doesn't handle my work-related issues. He makes me do it. I don't like that. The smart ones will. So, for ask and capture, can you give me some examples of where I didn't handle work issues well?
Okay. And the last question in this category, my manager is open and honest.
Yeah, we always found this question interesting because it sounds to us like my boss is peanuts and mechanical engineering. Open and honest? Those two concepts go together and they sound nice, but they don't go together, right? There are plenty of people who are open and dishonest, and others who are scrupulously honest and as closed-mouthed as a mafia guy being questioned. That said, we've already said plenty about trust and integrity and being an open communicator, so we'll refer you there. If you haven't been an open and honest boss up until now, you're going to have to decide whether you want this score to remain low when the survey is redone. That could be a pretty severe blow to your career. You might be able to get by with great results alone, but it's a dangerous game and only in certain industries. And actually, it will require you to suck up to your boss. Or you could confess to your people that you realize that candor and trust and respect are worth your best efforts, and you intend to try very hard to be a better person and boss for them. And by the way, suppose your boss didn't show you candor and trust and respect. He wasn't, or she wasn't, giving their best efforts. Wouldn't you want them to try? Of course you would. If you're going to apply the middleman test and you say, I want my boss to be this way, you have no business not doing that for your directs. So ask and capture here. What do I do that makes you feel like I'm not open and honest? Don't just ask for general feedback about open and honest. Say, what do I do that makes you feel like I'm not open and honest?
There you go. All right. That's it for questions regarding management. So we'll stop there. And next week, we'll get into questions regarding leadership. That should be an interesting one as well.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Thank you. See y'all.